As these fights kind of pop up, you can expect more and more organized community support of Better Transit. One thing I haven't mentioned to you yet, you'll hear it in the presentation, is that Marple is one of the highest transit-using neighborhoods of any neighborhood in Metro Vancouver. So basically behind like Joyce and I think Metrotown, Marple is number three for the highest level of transit use in Metro Vancouver. And that's remarkable, especially because a lot of people in Marple aren't that close to the Canada line, right? Like a lot of people are walking 25 minutes to the Canada line if they're doing it, or they're getting on the 10 or the 100 on Granville, but it's so stuck in traffic that, you know, we would love to see more people walking and going near the shops on Granville, but they're only going to do that if the buses are more reliable.
Once again, that was our conversation with Dennis Agar regarding the proposed changes to the streets on Marple, and you know whether the overall community wants those bus lanes to come into place. That was something that I was curious about. You know, he had sort of referenced this opposition to these changes, but I hadn't personally heard any of them yet. And then the community event started, and I certainly started to hear a lot of it. It was actually quite a packed room, so clearly something that people on either side of this argument had a lot to say about. And I wasn't able to record the actual event as well. You know, not everyone's comfortable being recorded. I'm honestly so grateful that so many people are completely cool with me putting a microphone in their face, but you know, I'd like to think of it as more of an ear to the community rather than a microphone to the face. That's how I feel better about it. And after the event, I was able to speak with Claudia of the Marple Business Association. She had also actually attended and gave... It was an interesting dynamic because it was a community discussion, but also the structure of this event had Movement YVR providing a presentation where they displayed their arguments and the data that they've gathered to show why this proposed change to or expansion of transit within the Marple area would be a net benefit. And then immediately after that, it was the executive director of the Marple Business Association, Claudia, giving her side of it and essentially all of the data that she had gathered from business owners in that area, saying why this would be a really bad idea and how there wasn't enough consultation, or according to her, any consultation with the local business association. After the event, I was able to speak with her after a lot of other people also wanted to speak with her. People, again, on both sides of this argument. And here is what she had to say to us. Excuse me for a second as this piece starts up for all of you.
Hello, I'm Claudia Leroy. I am the executive director of the Marple BIA in South Vancouver.
All right, and what brought you here today?
I am attending the Marple Neighborhood House Reframing Marple discussion about the proposed Granville Street transit and on-street parking changes from the City of Vancouver.
You know, from what I was able to gather from the beginning of this event, that Movement YVR is more so in favor of this proposed change to the Marple Street. The BIA is currently opposed. Could you, I guess, expand on that opposition?
So the Marple BIA represents small independent businesses on Granville Street between 63rd and 71st Avenues in Marple, which is a historic community in the City of Vancouver. Our small business members depend on the local community and people coming to shop here. We are not against transit. We are against the doubling of removal of on-street parking for little gain for transit users and no actual increase in transit buses or service.
So in this case,
what do you propose, like, is something that the city could do to, you know, reduce congestion, increase accessibility to this area that does not, you know, get rid of the parking lanes that are currently in place?
Well, I think the spirit of Councillor Kirby Young's original motion that was adopted by council was for staff, city staff and TransLink staff, to find a balance between transit needs and business. And the proposals that we have been presented with by staff, both at the city and TransLink, only present one-sided proposals about servicing transit and speeding up buses to the detriment of the Marple community, to the detriment of the Marple small businesses that exist here, without any consideration or regard for ensuring the vitality of the small businesses and the commercial district and the pedestrian atmosphere for Granville Street. It's a very one-sided proposal, and we have been trying with staff and council to find the ways that we can work together so that it isn't completely one-sided and achieve the balance that is necessary to keep a local economy vibrant while also trying to improve transit, which our community does need.
I guess, is there anything that you feel like you gained or learned from this community event that that you'd want to share?
Yeah, I really appreciated the opportunity to be here tonight to present the point of view and the information from our small businesses, as well as hear from people who have equally valid concerns about accessing their places of business or getting to places, schools, where they work, and hearing the other side of the story. I think too often we are in silos, and opportunities like this to sit together in a room and hear each other with respect, and also I hope understanding is extremely valuable and important. So I hope that everybody who is here goes away with a good sense of what other people might be thinking, and hopefully trying to give a little bit of understanding as to what their point of view is, and that it is also as valid as one's own.
Once again, that was our brief interview and rough interview. I was quite mumbly and tired, if you didn't notice, with the executive director of the Marple Business Association after that community discussion event. You know, one thing that really intrigued me about this event is that, again, I sort of described it as a microcosm earlier, but that's because, you know, I've been doing this job since October of last year, and this is not the first time that I have seen a sort of back and forth within a community regarding expanded bus lanes. You know, this is something that I think is being seen all over the Lower Mainland, and I actually did a different piece on this all the way back in, oh man, I want to say November. Yeah, it was November 18th, I think. That was very specific, but it was in Burnaby, so not in Vancouver, and it had to do with a proposal for an expanded bus lane throughout Burnaby Heights, which would also reduce the amount of street parking available in that area. And there was a lot of support for it and a lot of opposition. So I thought I would play this piece because I think it really mirrors what is being spoken about here. Tensions were high at the Burnaby City Council meeting on November 18th, 2024, with many on Burnaby City Council having serious questions and concerns for a presentation that was given by TransLink that proposed improvements for the speed and reliability of the R5. Many Burnaby City Councilors took issue with the street parking that this expansion would remove. The reason given being that the local businesses along Hastings Street in the Burnaby Heights neighborhood rely on those parking spaces to accommodate their customers. After an extensive round of questions from Burnaby City Council, Burnaby Councillor Daniel Tatro was able to pass an amendment for TransLink's proposal, shortening the originally proposed expansion by four streets and having the city look into the feasibility of bus bulbs within the Burnaby Heights area.
I think lost in the discussion, or what we see sometimes in this divisive debate, is we miss the common goals that exist in all the interested parties. So, you know, I know talking to many transit riders, whether they're all purpose riders or occasional riders, that they want reliable, frequent, and faster service and experience to get to where they need to go. But I also know that these transit riders, they do care about these small businesses, and they want to access these small businesses, and they do value and cherish the unique nature of the Heights. I also know that at the same time, many Burnaby residents and merchants in the area care passionately about climate change and improving transit as well, but also want to ensure that, you know, that the businesses continue to succeed and thrive, but also that the sense of strong community of the Heights feels alive, because it is a distinct feel of the Heights.
Bus bulbs serve as curb extensions that align bus stops with parking lanes, which allow buses to stop and board passengers without ever having to leave the original lane of travel. The purpose of this amendment was to maintain the street parking available in the Burnaby Heights area so as to not cause any economic impacts for local businesses. CJSF was able to speak with Dennis Agar, the executive director of Movement Metro Vancouver Transit Riders, a public transit advocacy group who had attended the meeting alongside numerous members of Movement that were in support of TransLink's original proposed expansion.
It was watered down a little bit. You could consider it a compromise. But what we heard from council is that, you know, their only concern was that it impacted businesses, right? That it took away parking. But they told us that they want to do some pretty bold stuff with bus lanes as long as it doesn't impact businesses. So that, I think, really opens the door for us to get more engaged and push for things like bus lanes on Willingdon, bus lanes on Imperial, on streets that where businesses might not be affected. They really opened the door for that, and I would say especially to you know, your listeners and to SFU students to really get engaged to try and push that conversation forward.
While we were unable to receive a statement from the Burnaby Heights Merchant Association that was against this original proposal, they'd released a statement on social media about the council's decision in the days following. It reads, "We were proud that Burnaby showed that we still have a civil society where we can express ourselves and find a place of common ground and compromise. We are proud of and deeply grateful to our City Council for upholding that process." Burnaby City Council's decision to amend the original proposal from TransLink ended up being a relatively popular decision, with groups both for and against the proposal being relatively satisfied with the end results. Once again, this has been Danny Nezvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. And this piece would not be possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this piece on frequencynews.ca. All right, once again, that was me with a news piece I did back in November of 2024. On a proposed expansion of bus accessibility in the Burnaby Heights area. There was actually an update to this that I never got to do a piece on, but it was learned in March of this year that the decreased coverage that was originally planned for the Burnaby Heights area actually ended up being canceled. So on March 21st, TransLink decided to not proceed with the 7 days a week, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. bus-only lanes on Hastings Street between Willingdon and Duthie Avenues, as was proposed to Burnaby City Council in November 2024. The Burnaby Heights Merchant Association actually came out in support of this decision. So even though they seemed relatively pleased with the reduction, I think they were more so happy that it wasn't happening at all. And that, again, is a bit of a trend, right? You know, you have people that clearly want things to stay the same in terms of prioritizing car owners and people that drive cars, and I guess aren't considering this the argument that transit riders would also contribute to that business if made more accessible. it's a tough conversation because, you know, specifically in the case of the MARPL Business Association, Claudia had expressed that she would like to see some form of expansion for transit, but just not in that sort of way. And, you know, it makes you wonder, what is that sort of way? You know, is that increased SkyTrain access? Is that bus bulbs? Like what was described here? It's hard to say. And, you know, currently the city of Vancouver is still planning on going forward with this MARPL bus lane expansion, but it's yet to be seen whether the opposition is going to be strong enough and heard loud enough for, I guess, that decision to be rescinded. Anyways, this most likely will not be the last discussion regarding transit expansion in the region, which is objectively sorely needed. You know, that I don't think is something that can be argued. I think that the Lower Mainland is obviously in need of more accessible and improved transit infrastructure. How we get there, clearly something that is up for debate among many, many community members throughout the Lower Mainland. So, something to think about. All right. With that being said, I am going to take a bit of a break with some music for this week's Speak Up. Thank you so much for tuning in. Hope you're all enjoying your Tuesday mornings. Once again, this is Danny, your host for Speak Up, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. Next up, we've got a song from local Vancouver artist Yon. This one is titled Let It Go.
Spent a long, long time feeling bad about it all, about the way you couldn't look at me, about the way you said hello, and you wouldn't talk about it, didn't say a single word, couldn't step out of your pain to see me wounded like a bird. I was sinking in your silence, I was crying in small rooms, I was watching you avoid it all by moving on too soon. And I know I'm not the victim, but I let you feel it all, and just like a woman I made myself small. I think I deserve to care. So hard on me. go now. I set myself free. I lay up on the rocks and listen to the sea. I'm not gonna wallow. I don't need to dwell. I crush it all beneath my feet like little shells. And I don't think you've processed, and that's okay. I hope you find a good therapist someday. But it's not my problem. I no longer care. The tide is changing and the wind is in my hair.
This is Bird Note. Meet the secretary bird, a bird of prey like no other on Earth. Picture, if you can, a slim eagle striding through the grasslands of sub-Saharan Africa on tall, slender legs like those of a crane. Standing 4 feet tall, the secretary bird is beautiful, feathered in silver, set off by black wings and leggings. The face is half covered in bright red skin. Beyond the black tail extend two long white plumes tipped in black, and from the back of the head dangles a spray of long black feathers. Utterly fantastic in appearance, these specialized raptors are also serious carnivores. Secretary birds track down their prey not on the wing, but on foot, often walking more than 20 miles a day. They hunt rodents, snakes, insects, lizards, and other animals, dispatching them by stamping repeatedly with rapid, powerful kicks of their talons. Secretary, in the bird's name, might follow from its black head quills, reminiscent of 19th century human secretaries with black quill pens. But more probably, secretary derives from the Arabic word for hunter bird. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
We are back with Speak Up, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. Hope you have been enjoying, dear listener. And coming up next, we have one more talk segment for the hour. This one comes from Montreal, Quebec. This is from none other than Jules Bugle of CKUT Radio in Montreal. And this piece is titled, On Amazon Prime Day, Laid Off Workers Call for Government's Support.
Today is Amazon Prime Day, a day of savings for customers of the online retail giant. But it's also almost 6 months after Amazon shuttered its 7 Quebec warehouses, laying off around 4,500 people and shifting the work to subcontractors. In Montreal, former workers are calling for more support from the province and a boycott from the people living here.
The question is not like policing anyone's behavior. The question is, what is everyone willing to do together to participate in this struggle?
Felix Trudeau was the president of the union at the YUL warehouse in Laval, Amazon's first union shop in Canada. Amazon's decision to lay off its Quebec workforce came just as workers in Laval were preparing to force the company into first contract negotiations, as is their right under Quebec law. Trudeau says the workers have had a hard time adjusting in the months since.
It caused a lot of anxiety of people who have families to support, people whose immigration claims are in limbo. The uncertainty causes anxiety and just the feeling of being abandoned.
Trudeau was one of around a dozen who gathered outside the Montreal office of MES, the Quebec Ministry for Employment and Social Solidarity. He says the ministry isn't doing enough to support the workers, many of whom are struggling to find jobs.
It is a crisis. It's 5,000 people suddenly out of a job. It does put pressure on the job market, and the government is acting as if it's business as usual.
A lot of workers that were laid off still don't have a job. A lot of them are on employment insurance. A lot of them are not eligible to employment insurance.
This is Vicky Tremblay from Mouvement Action Chômage. The Unemployment Solidarity Group has been helping laid-off Amazon workers find jobs. No easy feat in the current economic climate. She says that even those who qualify for EI can end up in a precarious position.
We have a lot of people that come to us and they're about to lose their home because they've been waiting for EI for months.
Former Amazon workers say they want the province to meet with them to address their needs as a group. This includes forming a reclassification committee, which the government can call for in the event of a collective dismissal. That committee would help survey laid-off workers to find out what support they need and assist them in finding new work. Quebec has ruled that such a committee isn't necessary for Amazon because the company has hired a private firm to do the job already. But workers like Asya Malinova say they haven't been much help.
Amazon hired a company called LHH, a firm that's never operated in Quebec, to give us tips on how to improve our LinkedIn profiles. We work in warehouses, not marketing firms. People are trying to figure out how to pay rent and put food in their kids' bellies, not whether their LinkedIn banner is on brand.
She says it's up to Quebec to show the workers and the rest of the province that they're ready to do what it takes to help laid-off workers get back on their feet.
The government cannot keep ignoring such a mass layoff. You can't just sweep this issue under the rug.
An Amazon spokesperson defended their decision to use LHH as a, quote, trusted human resources firm in a statement. Mess did not immediately comment when contacted by CKUT. For CKUT, I'm Jules Bujal with the Local Journalism Initiative.
Thank you to Jules Bujal for that piece on laid-off Amazon workers and the advocacy and struggles that they're working through at the moment in Montreal, but certainly not only in Montreal. And with that being said, we have reached the end of this hour of Speak Up. Thank you all so much for tuning in. You know, despite being here since October, I haven't actually done a lot of live programming since being here. So this is, I think, my third or fourth Speak Up at this point. And thank you all so much for coming along for this ride where I sort of find my live radio voice, because, you know, for years I did have a show, but for years as well, due to the pandemic, I was pre-recording it. And I think there is definitely a different dynamic, you know, any sort of that comes up, I can just pause and re-record. And that is not the case with live radio. But there's something kind of magical about that. So thank you all again for tuning in. I actually also have a new show on Thursdays at 6 p.m. titled Analog Archives. Last week, I covered two artists, one by the name of Emily Farina, who was local to Vancouver. Hopefully, there'll be a follow-up episode on that at some point, and as well as the UK punk band Mass. That is it for my little plug, because there are so many other amazing shows here at CJSF, one being another new show on Thursday, Your Shoes Untied, which goes over the sort of genres of shoegaze and noise and grunge and everything in between that. And that's really awesome to have, as well as other shows like Free Voices, which plays at 3 p.m. on Thursdays. We have Jacob with the Arts Show, 5 p.m. on Thursdays. And we have Wham Bam East Van, of course, which plays right after Analog Archives at 7 p.m. on Thursdays. So 7 p.m. or just Thursdays in general, kind of a killer day at the station. And if you want to get involved and be a part of that magic, go to cjsf.ca, start volunteering. You can also just come here in person at the station, which is here up at the SFU Burnaby campus at the bottom floor of the Student Union building. And we will get you set up with whatever you need, because we want to hear your voice on radio. Once again, this has been Danny Nesvedarani. Thank you so much for tuning in. Up next, Democracy Now.